Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and if you want to look at something really cool, be sure to check out all the submissions to our Map Your Moves Data Visualization Challenge. You may remember that we asked listeners to fill out a form on our website describing where you have moved over the last decade. We then made all that data available for designers and other artists to turn into a data visualization, an infographic. The results are beautiful, and they are smart, and they are illuminating, so you can check them out now. And meet the designers at our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And stay tuned because we'll have some of the designers on the show next week to describe their Map Your Moves visualizations and what they learned about where we live by doing this work. So, again, you can see all these Map Your Moves visual submissions at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Well, they enroll about 10% of the country's students, but get almost a quarter of the $24 billion worth of government Pell Grants and Stafford loans. I'm talking about for-profit colleges. These are the ones you see ads for on the subway. They include institutions like Kaplan University, the University of Phoenix, DeVry. They're often more expensive than community colleges, and yet more and more students are choosing the for-profit college option. So with a brand new crop of college students starting this month, we are launching a month-long series today on the freshman class and the new economic and social climate they face. Joining us each week at this time is Tamar Lewin, who covers higher education for the New York Times. Today's topic is the for-profit college experience. Hi, Tamar. Welcome back to WNYC. Thanks for doing the series with us.
Thank you.
First, just tell us a little bit more about what we really mean by the term for-profit college. Are these the ones advertised in the subway?
They are the ones advertised in the subway. They're all over the lot in terms of what they do. In some, you get a certificate in not very long in almost anything that seems vocational. It could be cooking, it could be hairdressing, it could be computer, it could be home health aid. And in some, you get associate degrees, and in some, you get bachelor's degrees, and you can get a master's degree, you can get almost anything. They really come in many, many, many kinds.
And listeners, we're opening up the phones. Did you go to a for-profit college? Do you go to one right now? Why did you take that route, and was it worth the price of tuition? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And curious also if you think or have experienced in the job market that there's a stigma associated with these schools. You mean that thing I saw at the subway? You know, 212-433-WNYC. Call us if you have ever gone or go right now to one of these for-profit colleges. 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC, or post your question or your experience to our show page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Tamar, the stat that I cited at the top, which makes them sound like not a good deal for taxpayers, students at these colleges are taking out government-subsidized loans at a disproportionately higher level than students at other kinds of colleges. As I said, the for-profit education industry received more than $4 billion in federal grants and $20 billion in Department of Education loans last year. That's a quarter of the Pell Grants and Stafford loans, even though they're just 10% of the country's students. Yeah. What should we think about those numbers?
Well, there's two things here. One is that the really more worrisome part is they're way more likely to default on their loans than other people who take out student loans. It's almost 44% of the defaults are from students at for-profit colleges.
Does that indicate fundamentally that for many students it actually is not worth the price of admission because they're not even, you know, making enough money to pay back their student loans at a higher rate than others?
It may well indicate that, and the Department of Education is trying to tighten it up so that programs whose graduates aren't likely to earn enough to be able to pay back their loans, that those programs won't have access to federal aid anymore. But the other piece of this is that they get almost 90% of their revenues, these schools, from the federal government. Now, what they would say, the for-profit colleges, is, yeah, but we're really cheaper for the taxpayer in some way than the traditional not-for-profits because they're getting subsidized, you know, through state funding. But the federal government is getting very concerned that is all this money now being put to anything that is useful to students, or is it just being, you know, helping to give profits to shareholders and the executives? And it's hard to think in education, which is always tight for money, that there's a lot of money left over for profits, and yet these stocks have been doing incredibly well, and these executives are very highly paid.
Let's take a phone call. Tony in Kansas City. You're on WNYC. Hello, Tony.
Hey, how you doing? It's an honor to be on the show. I listen to WNYC every day from the Midwest.
All right. Is it because you're an ex-New Yorker? I'm just curious. Or did you stumble upon us somehow?
No, let's just say I'm in love with the city. It's my favorite place to be, and you guys bring me there.
All right.
That's the truth. But to the topic, I graduated from DeVry. Now, back then, it was called DeVry Institute of Technology. Now, they got accredited to become a university. And the thing about it is you have to realize that these are businesses. They are a business. They're there to make money. And they charge a lot. Looking back, sometimes I regret that I went to an institution like that because my wife, who went to a state university, I missed out on the whole collegiate, you know, feeling, you know, where you go to a big campus and there's all these buildings and all these different chapters or whatever, you know? So I felt like I missed out on that.
Can I ask when you went and how much tuition you paid at the time?
Okay, yes. I graduated 17 years ago, and as far as tuition, I had the GI and Army College Fund,
uh-huh,
as well as my employer paid for the tuition.
Right.
So, but my peers, my classmates, they were in debt for quite a bit.
Tony, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. And I'm going to go on to another caller who worked at for-profit universities, and that is Tom in Manhattan. Hi, Tom.
Yes, can you hear me?
Sure can.
I have worked at four universities that are public universities.
Uh-huh.
Are we being recorded right now?
You're live on the air.
I'm live on the air. I've worked at for-profit-making universities and four non-profit universities. But there's a third category your reviewers should know, and those are universities that claim to be not-for-profit, but they end with EDU. But often what happens is the people who operate them are getting very, very high salaries. It's very much like Adelphi University from about 10 years ago, where they found out that the president was driving a Rolls.
Right, and it became a scandal. And, Tom, I'm going to leave it there because of the echo on the line. But Tamar Lewin, higher education reporter for the New York Times, he really raises a fundamental question, which is we're making this distinction between for-profit universities and not-for-profit universities, but the so-called not-for-profit universities, like any private school in America, you know, start at Harvard and go down from there, they're charging $50,000 a year.
They are, and their tuition is going up faster than inflation.
And their presidents make a lot of money.
Well, yes, their presidents might make at this point, and this has become a big deal, a couple million. But if you're the president of a for-profit, you might take away, you know, 10, 20 million. So there's a difference in scale there. There's a difference in what you're actually offering in terms of changing people's life, but you're really getting different kinds of students. So most of the students who go to for-profit colleges, this isn't that they graduated from high school and this is what they wanted to do and they're going to be full-time, first-time students. It's that they're working, they're older. It's much more, it can be much more convenient to do an online course in the evening that you can do at leisure, or you're, you know, you have three kids and you don't have a lot of time. It's a much more flexible way to go to school. It's true, as that caller said, you're not going to get at most of these places anything like the collegiate experience, but that may not be what you want at that point in your life. But you have to be careful about the debt and how much that credential is going to be worth in the workplace.
In fact, for-profit colleges have been in the news recently because a government investigation found fraud among recruitment efforts and that far higher default rate that we talked about on the student loans. For example, I read that recruiters told prospective students lies, like that barbers could make $150,000 to $250,000 a year, when most make maybe $50,000 if they do well. They were told to lie on their loan applications, to claim more dependents, to take out more loans than they needed. How big a fraud problem has been demonstrated?
Well, that was a really troubling thing, because they took undercover agents of the Government Accountability Office. They sent them out in pairs with hidden cameras to visit 15 for-profit schools all over the country, chosen at random, not because of complaints. And they found problems at all 15, and some of them were really, really scuzzy. They were, don't write down that $250,000 in savings because you won't get any financial aid. That's not the government's business. Or, oh, yeah, you can make $100 an hour as a massage therapist. Or, oh, yeah, student loans, you know, I'm not paying back mine. You know, the future is never foretold, when, in fact, you can't even discharge them in bankruptcy. I mean, student loans are going to be a blight your whole life if you can't pay them back. So I think there's a big argument about this, but that certainly gave the impression that it wasn't just a few bad places, that there were problems throughout this whole sector.
We asked on Facebook if there's an unfair stigma against students who go to for-profit colleges. James wrote back on our Facebook page that for now, perhaps there is, but the latest round of marketing for Phoenix grads, that's the national school called the University of Phoenix, Phoenix grads holding down desirable jobs, that those ads are very effective. He says, I suspect we're at the dawn of a new era where elite colleges will matter less and less, which is great news, writes James. But Felix writes, I think there is a stigma. It is my opinion that employers do not take these schools seriously, as a lot of them are not accredited. Michael in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello there.
You had an experience?
Well, sort of. I had a colleague who taught at DeVry University, or DeVry School, Institute at the time, I believe it was. And I used to help him grade the math scores. They were algebra classes. And about two-thirds of the class would fail. Their test scores ranged anywhere from 30-something to no higher than 70. And when he submitted his final grades for all the students, about three-quarters of the class failed, and the chair made him override every grade, telling him that, well, these are all working-class people. They have families. They're just trying to further education so they can promote themselves better in the work environment. So he overturned all the grades.
And you have reason to believe that that's more likely to happen at a for-profit college?
Well, I couldn't pass judgment on that. I was not the instructor. Right. I'm not an instructor at any institution, but I just know that my friend Tony just kept complaining. So he left the school after that.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate the story. On some of those Facebook comments, Tamar, do you think that some of them are not accredited? These are the ones we've been talking about on the show, the well-known ones. They are accredited universities, aren't
There's
they?
Different kinds of accreditation in higher education. It's one of the things that makes the whole field really so confusing. So actually, one of the things those GAO investigators found was someone at a Kaplan school in Florida saying, oh, we're accredited by the same people as Harvard, which wasn't true. So the schools with the great reputations that you've sort of always heard of are accredited by these regional bodies. The for-profits tend to be, and again, it's hard to generalize, but there's and this is one of the things the Senate is going to be looking at. They're accredited by groups that are different and that are about accrediting for-profits, and the people on there are for-profits. And there's a lot of question about, you know, who's really looking how hard.
So in our last minute or so, how do you tell the difference between a program that will provide you with a valuable degree from one of these schools and one that is essentially fleecing you? Because my guess is that some of the degrees at some of the schools for some of the careers that they're training people for might be very useful, but many are not.
It's a hard question. It's going to get easier because there's going to be more disclosure. But for now, I think you really need to know the workplace you're trying to get into, and you need to not listen to so much what the recruiter says or what the ads say. They spend a lot of money on ads. But really do some research on the kind of job you're looking for and what they're looking for.
All right. Each week in September at this time, each Thursday at this time, we will talk about issues pertaining to higher education with Tamar Lewin. We will talk about community colleges in an upcoming week, the relative value of a liberal arts degree in the 21st century world, and college debt, among other things. So Tamar Lewin, who covers higher education for the New York Times, thanks a lot, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks so much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Meanwhile, during the fall election season, we'll be doing a few projects that could use your help and investigative chops. If you want to be a part of the action on our Election 2010 crowdsourcing team, just go to our show page and give us your email address, and we'll be back in touch soon with more information. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show.